What I want to buy is a Zoom handheld recorder so we can record multiple people in one room. That's what I really wanted to do with the Patreon money.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Although, honestly, I've been thinking about buying one of those anyway. So if I buy one, you can just use it whenever you want. I don't give a shit.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I don't know if that's going to be, that's probably, I mean, after I move, but you know, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, people are moving so fast. Claire Violet is now in Seattle.
Yep.
Friend of the show, Emma, is going to be in Seattle soon.
Well, what's happening is most of the people who've been on the show lately are moving to Seattle soon.
Right. It's really great. Actually, I just finished editing your episode with Claire Violet from last week.
Oh, you finished editing it?
I did. I just finished editing it about 20 minutes ago.
Goddamn.
But yeah, no, it was a fine episode. It was a little chaotic, and you definitely got more into like the esoteric niche shit than you do when you're with me.
Yeah, well, Claire and I share a common interest in a lot of the same esoteric shit.
Well, you both have that same, like, oh, I'm on the spectrum and I hyper-focus on...
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Whatever it is that comes after and I hyper-focus on, you two usually have a lot of overlap there.
Yeah. A lot.
A lot. Whereas I tend to just hyper-focus on, God, new music, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. We have very different styles of hyperfocus, you and I.
Yeah, that's true.
Which usually makes the show interesting.
Well, I think it's interesting that, like, our hyperfocus doesn't... It's not just topic-based. Like, it's definitely, like, a type of hyperfocus.
Oh, yeah.
Our types are different.
Yeah.
Because I can't sit down and just read a Wikipedia page for anyone or anything. Like, I just can't.
Oh, I can't either, because I will end up clicking on three of more or more links, and then it's 2 a.m., and there are, like, 20 tabs open.
I end up, like, I'll go on Wikipedia, and I will skim to get the roughest idea of what it is I wanted to know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get the fuck off Wikipedia.
I didn't know that was possible. How?
Well, for one, I'm really good at getting off.
Hey! I tried to do the bell, but I knocked that glass over that's right next to it.
That's okay. That's where I'm going to patch in the theme song. This is Idle Curiosities, a search-driven podcast by Noelle Midnight and Liz Mulholland. Each week, we look at what we've been searching the internet for and then nitpick the finer details. Music by Yuri Beats. It's been a hell of a week. It's been a really busy week for me. I don't know about you, but I've had...
Yeah, we also haven't recorded in a couple weeks now.
It's been 3 weeks for us.
3 weeks now, yeah.
Yeah.
You've been busy. You've had a lot going on.
I've been busy. I've had a lot going on. I started dating someone.
You did.
And that's been really interesting because it's a very different dynamic than anything I've ever faced before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is someone who has kids.
Oh.
And has a primary partner.
Mm-hmm.
And lives, you know, since I don't have a car, I take public transit to get everywhere.
Right.
And she lives 4.5 hours away by public transit.
Now, how long would that take by car, just out of curiosity?
About an hour and a half.
So it's still a bit of a schlep.
Yeah, I mean, it's a trek either way.
Yeah.
But this is real, like, we're still in the early stages of dating, obviously.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, there's no logical sense in saying, oh, if this is still going in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's putting way too many carts before way too few horses. It's got me going, maybe I should get a motorcycle next year. Just so that, like, next summer, I can escape Seattle and make my way up north to visit her without it having to be a whole ordeal.
Yeah. I mean, we've all been thinking about two-wheeled conveyances lately, haven't we? Because Claire and I talked about bicycles in the episode. And you know that...
Oh, did you? I did not actually listen to the episode.
You just edited it.
I just edited it.
Huh. Yeah, I forget at what point. It might have been way at the end, at the bit that you might have clipped past the after show. I don't know. We did talk about bicycles at some point. But you also know, well, most of the people who I know who know me know at this point that one of my ulterior reasons for wanting to learn to ride a bicycle, and none of this is in my search terms yet, it's just been in the back of my mind for a long while. I want a Vespa. I want a fucking Vespa. It's partly for the aesthetic. I'm not going to lie to you.
I mean, it's a good aesthetic.
I know. It's... I hope so, anyway.
It's a good aesthetic.
Yeah. I'm not sure if Vespa is a vehicle I would take for a hour and a half long trek out of the city. It's very much an in-city vehicle.
But, right.
You know. But we have both been idly thinking about motorcycles lately, it seems. Or motorized two-wheel vehicles. A Vespa isn't really a motorcycle.
Right. Yeah. So...
Do you have one in mind? Have you got one that's...
I do.
Of course you do.
One of them that I've been looking at is through Yamaha.
Mm-hmm.
They have the 2022 V-Star 250. It's got an MSRP of $4,600.
I'm just looking. Motorcycles.
I'll drop the link in the Discord show notes.
It's a classical looking. It's a classical looking bicycle. I do like that.
It is. It is a motorcycle that looks like the dictionary definition of motorcycle.
Yeah, this looks like every 1970s to present Japanese classic motorcycle, which I adore. I love that look.
Yeah. So I'm gonna drop this in the Discord show notes for anyone who is listening.
Does it come in any color besides black?
I don't know. But, like, this is one of the bikes I'm looking at. There are a few others I've looked at as well. Yeah.
All in this general style, I assume.
Yeah, all in this general
style.
Because
I can't see you on,
all
like,
in the, like, $5,000 to $8,000 range.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see you on a Hayabusa.
No. I just want something that is simple and that will get me from point A to point B. I don't want something that's going to tempt me to drive across the country. I don't want something that's going to tempt me to drive 200 miles an hour.
Yeah,
I want
exactly.
Simple and clean.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. If I were looking at a bike, if I were looking at a motorcycle as opposed to a motor scooter, I would be looking at something like this. I would be looking at something like a Royal Enfield, something along those lines.
Yeah. There's something that's elegant.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Because a lot of motorcycles aren't elegant. Some of them are pretty in their own way, but they're not elegant. And I think a motorcycle should be at least a little bit elegant.
Yeah. I don't know. I keep looking at, like, Yamaha is one of the brands. What else was I looking at? I was looking at Suzuki. Suzuki also has a really good one.
I feel like Honda has one in this similar style as well.
Oh, almost certainly. I haven't really looked at the Hondas yet, though.
Mm.
But it's all a moot point. Like,
yeah.
I do not have a budget for a bike right now.
No. This is wish casting for the future.
Right.
Yeah.
Because next summer, I will no longer be paying off Laser.
Oh, hey.
Which is costing me about $380 a month right now.
Yeah.
I've got...
That's good to know, actually, because I'm probably going to start Laser after I move, so that's good to know.
Well, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in Washington and on Washington insurance, your insurance has to pay for it.
I wonder how that's going to work, because my insurance is... It's a national plan, because I work remote. I forget what state it's technically through.
You might be able to get it covered.
That might be good. If I can, that would be brilliant.
Yeah. I was just in a weird point where I wasn't able to get it covered, and I needed it anyway, so I got on a payment plan. And
yeah.
Now I've got, like, 4 payments left in that plan.
All right. Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah.
So in about 4 months, I will have an extra $380 in my budget every month.
Fantastic. That's motorcycle money.
Well, I don't want to immediately consume that money. I would love to start paying down debt pretty aggressively.
True, 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 true.
But honestly, that money's probably all going to go straight into medical bills.
Yeah.
Because, like, right now, I owe Kaiser Permanente about $600.
Right.
I owe my my psych office about $600.
Mm-hmm.
I just did a GoFundMe this week. I don't know if you saw
that. You did.
I did a GoFundMe this week.
And
because...
it completed in, like, what, an hour?
Yeah. Well, my surgery center sent me a message saying, hey, before surgery, we need you to pay this $1,300 deposit.
Yeah.
And... They gave me less than 2 weeks on that. Like, they gave me less than 2 weeks notice on that. And so I'm looking at my accounts and I'm going, that's, you gave me a single paycheck notice.
Yeah, that's not enough.
And so I ended up going on GoFundMe and I'm like, hey, I need help here.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, there was one person who donated $1,300 all in one go.
Yeah.
I am very, very grateful to that person. If you're listening, thank you. And then I've had a few other small donations on top of that, which will help with expenses such as I'm going to have to pay for a hotel and a rental car and getting...
Is it in Portland again?
It is in Portland again. And my pre-op is the day before, so I have to spend at least one night in Portland, probably two, on my own hotel. So that's annoying.
Yeah, that is annoying.
But then pending girlfriend's medical schedule, she is planning on picking me up from Portland, which will be nice.
Oh, that will be nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I don't have to worry about my next surgery until March.
So like, hang on. So Portland's like a 3-hour drive, right?
Yeah.
Why isn't there an hourly train between Seattle and Portland? What the shit?
I mean, I know the sounder.
Does the sounder go all the way to Portland?
I
don't think it does. I don't think it leaves Seattle, Washington.
Does it not? I mean, I'm probably going to take Amtrak to get down there again.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what I did last time, and it went really well pending the person who committed suicide on the tracks.
Yeah.
But that's a really convenient way to get down there.
Yeah, I mean, the Cascades runs, I think, 3 times a day. Which isn't bad, but they're so close and there's so much traffic between the two that I would expect there to be an hourly service at least between, maybe it goes to Eugene, maybe it doesn't. I would expect it between Seattle and Portland to, maybe it stops in Tacoma.
Yeah.
Maybe it stops in like Vancouver, Seattle, Washington, whatever's in the middle. There should be a train that runs every hour. That's what I'm saying. Is there even like a bus that runs every hour? I don't even know.
I don't know. I really wish I could just drive it because I wish that I could just go and look at all the license plates and admire the Florida license plate font.
Ooh, that was good.
Liz, why the fuck did you Google Florida license plate font? Were you doing Photoshop fuckery?
Surprisingly, no. I was driving yesterday. This only happened yesterday. And this is a quick one. It's not very interesting actually, but it was in there. So I was driving yesterday. I was taking my friend on a couple errands, and I had a couple errands of my own. And I was behind a car from the state of Florida. And I was staring at this license plate at a stoplight. And I was like, that 2 looks funny. And that 5 looks funny. And then I was behind a different car. And I was like, that B looks funny. Those are all letters. I'm just talking about the letters and numbers. Because I used to live in Florida. I lived in Florida for, about 2 years. Yes, you get pretty used to what the numbers and letters on a license plate look like when you're living in a state and see those license plates every goddamn day. And I was sitting there behind these cars from Florida, and the font, the letters, looked wrong. They looked different than what I remembered, and they looked a little weird. So I looked it up, and it turns out in, 2015, they changed the font slightly on new Florida license plates to, be easier to read by optical recognition for the toll booths and speeding cameras and things like that. Yeah, that's why they changed it. And they changed it in 2015, which is right after I moved.
Okay.
And it takes a few years for people to get new plates anyway, because I mean, there are people who are still using their plates from the 70s,
Yeah.
So I'd never seen these characters.
Hmm? I did notice you Googled license plate font and not number plate font. Is that...
Because I know that if I Googled number plate font, I didn't know if Google would translate from English to English.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Just checking, because number plate does feel like something that you would say instead.
It is. However, if you Google... Actually, let's try it. If I Google Florida number plate, will it give me... It does give me license plate results. Okay, so it is clever enough to do that. It is genius enough to catch my careful gaze. That was a terrible segue.
No, that was good. That was good.
Was it good?
Don't undercut yourself. Don't undercut yourself. Yeah, I Googled genius, careful gaze. Because friend of the show, former guest of the show, Gabriel Reasoner, their band just put out their second LP this week.
It's very good.
It's very good. But
they're not paying us to say that, by the way. I mean, Noel is friends with Gabriel. But,
well, yeah.
I'm not being paid to say that, so...
But it's a loud record, and it's a record that you have to listen to a few times if you want to catch all the lyrics.
Yes,
that
is true.
And so I went on Genius to see if they'd already put the lyrics up, and they have.
Good, good, good.
And I just want to highlight for you some of the lyrics that really, really caught my eye.
Mm-hmm.
The one specific verse that really got me was from the song Teach, where Gabe sings, "You were born in the midst of confusion. Your bad ideals are hereditary. You had a chance to shift and evolve, but you have chosen to be sedentary."
Ooh, well, that's good.
That's really good.
Yeah.
And then another line was, "You make me want to get a calendar. I can finally pick a date more than a month from now that I'll want to be alive."
That's just a mood. That's just a right? mood.
God damn. It's such a good record. It is.
It's a good record. It's a very good record.
It is impressively heavy, and at the same time, it feels like it's got delicacy scattered throughout. And I'm really impressed that they managed to make something where I can't really pin it down to a specific genre.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I would have a hard time pinning that one down.
Yeah. But yeah, so I was looking up Genius because I wanted to read along as I listened to the record and make sure I was, you know, getting the meat of it.
Is it on any of the other lyric sites too? Because Genius sucks.
You don't like Genius?
It's so heavy. Oh, as a website.
Sure.
You know, I just want the lyrics. I don't need to highlight them all the time. I don't need 50 pounds of JavaScript.
Have you tried plaintextlyrics.com?
No, I usually use azlyrics.com.
Don't type that in. Don't type that in. That's not a real website. Don't type
God
that
damn.
In. What are you doing?
I thought you were being helpful.
No, I was just being a little NutraSweet.
Oh, this is a really stupid quick one. They used to have like three or four different kinds of sweetener at restaurants on the table.
Yeah, NutraSweet's the green one. Stevia's the pink one. No.
Yep.
Splenda is the pink one.
No. Splenda's the yellow one.
Splenda's the yellow one?
Isn't it? Yeah, Splenda's the yellow one.
Why is there a hanky code for artificial sweeteners?
Now that you've put it like that, I'm never going to. I don't know how they ended up with these colors. I really don't. I guess I was just reminiscing, you know. I was sitting in a restaurant. I was like, wait a minute. They used to have like three or four different kinds of sweetener for some dumb fuck reason. And like, here's what I want to know, and I wasn't able to work this out. Why did they go away? Why did they stop doing that? Aside from the obvious that nobody was fucking using them. Like, I'm not even, in retrospect, I'm not
even
sure why.
Did they go away?
I haven't seen one on a table in a restaurant in ages.
I feel like if you go into a diner, you'll still find that. The thing is, it has to be somewhere that serves coffee.
A lot of coffee. That makes sense.
A lot of coffee.
I wasn't thinking about a diner, because I haven't been inside of a diner in a long time, to be perfectly honest.
Well, yeah, COVID kind of broke us all of that habit.
Yeah, which is a shame. Yeah, I guess it would make sense if they're still in a diner. If you've been in a diner lately and they did or did not have the little bowl of various sweeteners.
I feel like those come in every hotel room, too.
Yeah. Hotel rooms, yeah.
There's this cute little bowl of sweeteners.
Yeah.
That nobody's ever going to touch because you're not making coffee in your hotel room. Because
no, and if
you
are,
don't know
you're probably
where
not putting that sugar in it.
Well, You don't know where the previous room's occupants' balls have been.
No, this is why I travel with an AeroPress.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, so I was just like, I was just remembering hanky code. God damn it.
Liz, it's 4:27 on a Tuesday. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, right. It's time zones. I was sitting here like, what the fuck? It's not 4.
Oh, it most certainly is 4 o'clock.
Yeah. For you, certainly. Oh, so I didn't notice that Duck Cheney. Duck Cheney.
I don't remember Googling this, but I was looking in my search history, and I saw Duck Cheney was there, and I'm just like, I don't remember Googling this. I might have been in some sort of weird fugue state.
Sure.
Where I was trying to, like, come up with my own 30 Rock jokes or something.
Yeah.
But I saw Duck Cheney and I was like, well, I have to include it. I don't remember searching it, but I do have to include it.
Does anything come up? So you know how sometimes when you type something with an... I mean, there was that one duck. Okay, so when I put duck in quotes, because otherwise it just gave me results for Dick Cheney.
Sure.
You know, the first result is the Wikipedia page, Dick Cheney hunting accident.
Of course. Of course.
The second result is a New York Times article from 2004. Scalia angrily defends his duck hunt with Cheney.
Oh, okay.
So apparently a Supreme Court justice and the vice president of the United States at the time went on a duck hunt back in 2004, and this is fine, I'm sure. Oh, there was someone published a satire book called Duck, the Dick Cheney Survival Bible paperback.
Okay, so if we're going to talk about Scalia and Dick Cheney, I want to see if you can piece together how this next search term is like a segue. But like OBS headless, why were you Googling that?
Completely unrelated.
Completely unrelated, yeah.
Completely unrelated, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. If anybody from like national security is listening, that was a completely unrelated search term. It's not even really a segue.
I hope Dick Cheney has a nice time wherever he is.
Sure.
Yep. Hope he has a real nice time.
Can't kill him twice.
Nope. How many hearts is he on now?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I think he sounds like his second artificial heart.
It's not a real heart.
It sure ain't. Anyway, OBS headless. OBS, open broadcasting software, or whatever the fuck it stands for.
I'm sorry. I'm just dropping Jonathan Coulton references for literally nobody. Does anybody...
No. You're dropping them for one person, and it is who was on the show last week.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. Sure.
And me. I'm just ignoring them because I know it causes you pain.
It does. It causes me great pain to know that I have made a reference and it has gone unacknowledged.
I know.
Because, you see, this is a show about me.
You are first in the billing, that is true.
Okay, OBS headless. Let's get to it.
Yeah, yeah. OBS is the software you use to stream your game or your desktop or whatever the fuck to Twitch or some other place. The reason I was looking up OBS headless...
Why would you want it headless?
So that you can just leave it running in the background on a virtual machine or somewhere else.
To what end?
I'm about to explain the stupid project that you're aware of in our DMs.
Yeah, you've talked about this. I just hadn't realized how you were doing the implementation.
Yeah, those parts go together.
I hadn't realized that this was part of the implementation.
Yeah. So, my stupid idea, and you've discussed this, I don't know if you just talked about this on the show, I think you did. You had an idea a while back of making a playlist on your Plex of stuff you can just rewatch all the time. Just to put something on so you don't have to think about it.
The 30 Rocks. The Communities.
Yeah. The Simpsons, maybe. The good ones, anyway. You know? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I was doing some Googling, I was having some ideas, and there is software that will automatically generate a schedule and, like, make a fake TV station, basically. What it does is it takes your Plex library, you tell it what shows you want to play, more or less at what time, and it assembles a schedule and randomizes it and spits out a video stream. It's basically a fake TV station. One of the pieces of software that does this is literally called AirSats TV.
Of course.
That's not the one I'm using right now. I'm looking at that one. There's a couple of them, a couple pieces of software out there. One's called, I forget how the fuck do you pronounce it? It's so fucking weird. Dizka TV? That's Delta India Zulu Quebec Uniform Echo TV. I don't know why it's called that. I have no fucking clue. But anyway, they both the cool thing with them is you can like set up a schedule and it will like, if you give it a playlist or a category or a library or whatever, it will fill time between the shows. So like I'm thinking, you know, to fill the gaps between the shows, I'm just going to put like a giant folder of random YouTube videos in because an episode of Seinfeld or whatever is 22 minutes. A programming log is half an hour. You gotta fill that gap somehow. So you can
tell it every evening. At 5 o'clock, put on Jeopardy and then Wheel. And then, okay, I like that.
Yeah. So I'm making one of those for myself just because it seems like a cool little thing to have. And it will allow me to think even less about, you know, basically what I'm trying to do is to replicate the experience of getting back to your hotel room at like 10:30 after you've been out doing a thing and just flipping on whatever the fuck basic cable channel you have, you know? That's the experience I'm going for.
So you're saying that you will exclusively have Friends and Seinfeld?
No Friends. I don't like Friends.
I mean, this isn't about what you like. This is about replicating the experience.
I'm not going for that precise of a simulacra, okay?
Oh, okay.
I'm not above
the idea. So you've got Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Let's see if I can actually say that. So you've got Diners, Dive-Ins, and Drives.
I'm not above the idea of, like, throwing in a bunch of random old weird commercials to
diners,
randomly play in between shows.
Drive-Ins, Dive-Ins,
and
Dives.
It's a real tongue twister. It really is.
I wish somebody would fiat on my guy.
I was expecting you to say, I wish someone would twist my tongue.
Oh, you know what? That would be fine, too.
So yeah, I've got this brew and I've got this percolating. The problem is that the video feed that it spits out is a little weird, and you know, depending on how I want to set it up, it would be nice if I could pipe it into OBS and, you know, stream it through a separate server. That's probably just going to be another virtual machine on my network. And if most ideally, I can run it through something that I can run on Linux without having to leave a GUI window open all the time. Sure. I can just set it and forget it, you know? So the problem is that OBS, although it runs on other platforms, is very much a Windows-first piece of software with all of the terrible implications that entails.
Sure.
If you had a question, go ahead.
Well, I'm trying to figure out, is there a way that you can do more of this from the command line and be able to bypass OBS?
Almost certainly. I just haven't found it yet, if there is. And I also don't know if some of the things that I want to do are going to be feasible using those particular tools. Because I had another idea. This one is even stupider and even more self-indulgent. There is a piece of software out there.
Well, if you know one thing about me, you know that I hate things that are stupid and self-indulgent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Glares directly into the podcast.
Neither of us have ever embarked on any stupid self-indulgent projects,
ever.
Including but not limited to a gender transition.
Sure. Now, hold on. I take umbrage.
Uh-huh.
This is not stupid or self-indulgent. This is self-actualizing. I would like to present that there is a difference there.
It's not stupid. It might be a little self-indulgent. But that's okay.
I don't know. Just a little.
I'm also mostly joking.
Okay. As long as you're mostly joking, I'm happy.
Anyway, the other idea is, you know how Weather Channel has the local on the 8, the automatically generated forecast thing? Yeah. You that was far more enthusiastic than I expected.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Wait, really?
I have never had cable.
You never had cable.
My only exposure to cable is in hotel rooms.
Fair. Okay, so I don't know if they still do this, actually, because I don't know what the fuck's going on with the Weather Channel lately. They got bought. They do different shit now. They have some original programming, which is a weird concept to me, because it used to just be weather forecasts all the time.
Right.
Anyway, and the thing is,
now you can go watch a rerun of Twister.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is, every 10 minutes at, you know, 8 past the 10-minute mark, so at 10:08, 10:18, 10:28, and so on, they showed a little, like, you know, 3 or 4 minute automatically generated summary of the weather forecast and the current weather conditions in your area. And in the thing of it is, in the 90s, they had a habit of doing this using some very 90s software and usually playing background music that would now be described as vaporwave, or at least as a sort of proto-vaporwave. I'm going to put a link to an example of this in the show notes. There is software that you can download now that emulates this almost precisely, except it's pulling, you know, the current data from the NWS. So the software that does all the Plex scheduling stuff can't really handle pulling in a feed from somewhere else, which is why I would need something like OBS, because I would like it, you know, maybe the top of the hour, it shows the weather broadcast using this stupid piece of 1990s nostalgia.
Sure. Yeah, no, so, I like that.
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking about there. It's going to be a little tricky. It's going to be very stupid. It's probably going to break a lot, but it sounds like a lot of fun to try and make work. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it without having a Windows machine running all the time, though, which is going to be a little bit annoying.
Right. Yeah.
But, you
I
know,
mean, I have a Windows machine that runs all the time, and it is extraordinarily annoying. I really wish I didn't need it.
Yeah.
But goddamn, it sucks trying to get Game Pass to work on a fucking Mac.
I don't think, does it work at all?
No. Like,
yeah,
so you can do the Game Pass, like, what do they call it? Cloud Pass?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
But I can't get an Xbox controller to work in that for some reason.
Oh. Hmm.
So if I want to use my Xbox controller, I have to use the PC.
Yeah. That's, yeah. It is annoying. Everything about having a Windows computer running, even if it's not running all the time, is annoying. But you know what? I'm willing to sacrifice for the aesthetic.
Sure.
Yeah. So yeah, that's that. You have a lot of good ones. And I'm really, like... what? Christmas is coming, the goose is getting fat. What the fuck?
So, I wanted to know if this is... Because this popped into my head the other day, and I wanted to know if this is a poem that is, like, well-known, or if this is a thing that only existed within a very small sphere of my childhood.
All right.
But it's a poem that goes, Christmas is coming, the goose is getting fat, something put a penny in the old man's hat. If you don't have a penny, then a hay penny will do. If you haven't got a hay penny, God bless you.
Okay.
And so it's sung as a round.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
And I don't know why it popped in my head earlier this week, but it popped in my head earlier this week. And I was like, mm-hmm. I wonder
in
if
July.
This is like a known
in
thing.
In July.
Christmas in July is a thing.
God damn. The one fucking month.
Christmas in July is a thing. But yeah, so yeah. Like, I just wanted to know, is this like a really weird, like, Minnesota thing?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this something that is known? And it has its own Wikipedia page.
All right. Well, that's something. That's a good start.
Yeah,
I'm
so,
not
like,
familiar
it's,
with it.
It's
but
known, apparently.
Yeah. All right. All right.
Anyway, yeah, it was a feeling lucky for a reason. Like, I don't have a whole lot to say on the topic.
Well, at least you didn't have to read. At least you didn't have to read any Tengwar for it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Here's another feeling lucky, which was how to read Tengwar, because this girl that I am dating is apparently a nerd.
You dating a nerd?
So,
I'm shocked.
Liz, can you just inform the listening audience as to what Tengwar is?
Tengwar is the script that is used in Middle Earth. That's the fictional location in which the Lord of the Rings books are set.
Yeah, and so I was doing my thing where I get super like flowery and poetic with my words.
Yeah, 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 as one does.
And she replied by typing in Tengwar.
I didn't know you could. Is Tengwar in Unicode?
No, she apparently did it through like a Tengwar generator website.
Oh, okay, and it just spits out an image.
Yeah, it spits out an image.
Okay, okay, okay. I was gonna say because I feel like I would have known if Tengwar was in Unicode.
But then, like, then I have this problem of I have an image, so I can't copy paste it to translate it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to like Google how the fuck do I read this goddamn message that's been sent to me.
Right, yeah.
Which is fine. I don't mind doing that. It was fun.
Sure.
But it's also one of those things where I'm just going, I cannot believe that this is the direction that my life has gone in.
I can.
Like,
I can.
Here's the thing.
Hmm.
If you'd ask me, hey, Noelle, you just got out of a marriage with a massive Lord of the Rings nerd as your partner. What are you looking for in your next relationship? I would not have said another massive fucking Lord of the Rings nerd. I would have said, like, a goth girl. Or, you know, some sort of, like, hyper-pop non-binary chick or something
sure.
like that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have said, let's take the Lord of the Rings and dial it up to 11. Which is fine.
You might
it's
have
fine.
A type. You might have a type. Listen, speaking as someone who also has a known type, I'm beginning to think, I'm putting some pieces together, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm now in this situation where I guess I'm just going to have to keep a bookmarked page so that I can quickly reference that and read Tengwar.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So I'm, you know how I said earlier, I didn't know Tengwar. I didn't think Tengwar was in Unicode. Well, it isn't, but I just found out that there is a was actually, oh, it hasn't been updated since 2008. There was a an amateur effort to encode constructed languages and constructed scripts into the private use space of the, like, the unused blocks of the Unicode address space.
Sure.
So it is actually possible to display Tangmar script in browsers sometimes if you have the right fonts installed.
Sure. That doesn't surprise me.
That's really cool, actually. That's,
What's Zenit 4?
Zenit 4 is a camera.
Okay, what kind of camera? Yeah. Like, what are you looking at here?
So, this is a whole thing.
Is Zenit the brand, or is Zenit the...
Zenit is the brand. It's an old Soviet camera. It's an old Soviet rangefinder.
Sure, of course it is.
Yeah, naturally. This is just a thing I've been thinking about lately in general. Do you know, I don't know if you know this, I feel like you do. Do you know that I used to shoot film when I was, like, in college?
That makes sense. I don't know if I knew that, but I did know that.
Yeah. I also, this is not an exaggeration. It sounds, makes me sound like a melodramatic bitch. And I am. And I was even more of one back then because I found myself in a depressive / creative rut such to the extent that I burned every single photograph and every single negative and any evidence that I'd ever had a film phase and gave my old Nikon to my now ex-girlfriend when I moved. And I haven't touched film photography since then. And, like, there's, for this longest time, I've maintained that, like, I've already had my film phase. I don't need to get back into it.
Right.
And I keep saying to myself, I've already had my film phase. I don't need to get back into it. Except at some point, it became me stopping myself. I think what it became is me stopping myself from something I'd actually want to do. Something that I would want to do now that I'm in much more of a, I'm not saying I'm stable, because I'm not.
Sure.
But I'm in a much better state than I used to be.
Yeah.
For one thing, I don't live in Florida.
So, quite literally a better state.
Quite literally a better state, yeah. So, you know, I've... And it's a hell of a time to do it, because film is stupid expensive nowadays. But I've been thinking about getting back into film. I've been thinking about giving it a try and seeing if me missing it is just nostalgia, or if it's genuinely something that I would enjoy doing. I think it's something I would enjoy.
I want to shoot medium format on film.
Yeah, there's a couple of, I'm going to use the word cheap under advisement because it's all fucking relative. There are some cheap medium format films, I mean cameras, that you can find nowadays. Because a lot of them are like any hobby at this point. A lot of the equipment is stupid expensive for no goddamn good reason aside from just assholes and dipshits. Yeah. And like, the other thing is that I'm a fucking hipster. If something is sufficiently obscure and weird, that makes it appeal to me more.
Yeah.
There's a couple of medium format cameras on the back of my mind. But also, like, a Zenit 4 is basically a Soviet-built copy of an old Leica rangefinder.
Mm-hmm.
And there were other models. There were, you know, multiple ranges of this throughout the years. It's a rangefinder. It's cheap. A lot of them are broken. A lot of them are really fucked up in stupid ways. But you can find a decent one on eBay with a lens on it for under $200, assuming that the Ukrainian post is working right now.
Sure.
Which, even odds, given the current geopolitical situation in Ukraine. But yeah, so this is kind of a back burner project for me. I used to shoot film. I exclusively shot black and white. I developed it myself. I was that bitch.
Yeah.
I kind of want to get back into it. And I kind of think I think insisting to myself that I don't want to get back into it may have been, well, it was definitely denial. It's definitely a form of denial.
Sure.
And maybe it's harmful. Maybe I am keeping myself from doing this for no good reason aside from stubbornness and just assuming that things that have hurt me in the past will still hurt me now.
Sure.
Of course, it could also mean that I'm going to end up with a bunch of broken cameras and be even more sad than I was before. We'll see.
I really don't feel like you're going to be more sad by having broken cameras.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
Like, that just, it's very LizCorp.
I mean, I would prefer them to work, you know. In general, when I do collect old electronics, which is often, or old devices, because they're not strictly electronic, but I would prefer them to work. I generally aim for things that I own to be usable.
Sure, and that makes sense. That's fine. That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
But also,
but I do have I have a fair amount of broken shit. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that's just, that's an old, shitty old Soviet camera that I've been looking at because I've just been thinking about getting into yet another expensive hobby.
Yeah.
Why not? You know, fuck it. Speaking
I was going to say, for the same reason that I was looking at Warhammer figures earlier, right?
Hey! Is that in here? Are any of these on here?
Thank God, no.
Yeah, no.
I gave up on that search real fucking fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not that stupid.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah. No. How's your Magic card collection looking?
Nope. I haven't. I know better.
I know better. Yep. So anyway, speaking of old broken Russian shit, what's up with a Russian join?
So a Russian join, can I ask what you think this is?
I'm going to guess that it's some kind of knitting or crocheting term, actually.
Very good. Yes, it is a way to join two balls of yarn.
Oh, okay. All right.
So basically what you do is you have your two strands of yarn. One is the tail end of the first ball. One is the starting end of your new ball.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is you need to get them to join seamlessly, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what you do is you weave them through each other. Like you slightly undo the fibers of the yarn.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And then you
weave
one of them through the other, and then you pull it taut, and then you weave the other one through, and you pull it taut. And you have this semi-seamless bind, because you have joined by just interlacing the fibers.
Yeah. Huh.
And so I am currently knitting my first ever sweater.
Mm-hmm.
And I am probably today going to kill my first ball of yarn.
Right.
So I was Googling Russian join because I need to be able to integrate my next ball of yarn seamlessly because it's just ending in the middle of the sweater, middle of the torso.
Right, right, of course. And you're not being a crop top.
Right. And I don't want there to be like a visible seam or visible like splicing in the middle of the torso of a sweater. Like that's awful. Nobody wants that.
Yeah.
So we'll see if I can actually do a successful Russian join. I guess I'm going to try a spit splice first.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard that I might not have success because my yarn is 25% acrylic. And spit splices only work with animal fibers.
Oh, like really?
It's 75% alpaca.
I don't know the difference.
So a spit splice is literally just like you get your yarn wet with spit.
Oh,
and you rub the two ends together, and they join in on themselves. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work on acrylic because it's not a natural fiber and it's not like as malleable.
I guess.
All right.
Question mark?
Maybe malleable isn't the word, but like, you know.
But yeah,
materials react differently to becoming wet.
Right.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'm hopeful that I'll get this figured out and it won't cause me any headaches.
Cool.
But it's my first sweater. I'm allowed to make mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely. I assume backwards loop cast on. Well, I mean, I know it's related to knitting, but.
Yeah, the backwards loop cast on is a method of casting on extra stitches in the middle of a row. So like that is what I used to create the stitches at the bottom of the underarm of the sweater.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Because you do have that problem where you're working in circles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden you get to the sleeves and you place all those stitches on hold for the sleeves, but then you still need to create that underside. So you just cast those on with the backwards loop cast on.
Okay. All right.
And it looks like that worked.
Cool.
So I haven't even started on doing the actual sleeves yet. I'm going to finish up the body first and then I'm going to go to the sleeves.
Yeah.
But, it's going well so far. I'm really
great.
Optimistic.
Fantastic.
Why did you Google CO2 sensor home assistant? Did you smell something?
No. Surprisingly, no.
Good, because you wouldn't.
The look you're giving me is ridiculous.
is this going to turn into a PSA? Is that what's happening here?
No. Well, a little bit. Just a little bit. Yeah. More of a complaint than PSA. just in general, there's, if you live in a building, as I assume most of you do, if you're listening to this show.
I really thought you were going to say something after if you live in a building. Like, I thought you were going to say, if you live in a building, that. Not, I didn't think you were just going to leave off at, if you live in a building.
I'm assuming, probably correctly, that most of our audience is American and lives in a home with forced air, central heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. Maybe not air conditioning.
I don't think you can assume that for Seattle people.
Yeah, that's fair, actually. The air conditioning part is probably not. Actually, what about the heating part?
How, I don't even have forced air for my heating. I've just got like a little radiator panel in the wall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I stand corrected in that part then.
Yeah, you fucking do. Yeah, you stand corrected. Yeah, I'm getting confrontational. I'm getting aggressive because we're at the 52nd minute of this podcast, and I want to make sure that we keep the energy up for our audience who deserves it because they pay us $2 a month over at patreon.com/idlecuriosities.
Yeah, because your two remaining search terms are totally not anything you're going to be energetic about.
Totally not, yeah.
Totally not. Anyway, all right, let me phrase it this way then. If you live in a dwelling that has forced air, ventilation, heating, and or air conditioning.
And if you have a torso with an arm on either side.
Your HVAC system is probably really shit at actually bringing fresh air into the building. A lot of them are not very good at it, which is a thing that many of us have become aware of during the ongoing pandemic, because it turns out fresh air is pretty good at getting the COVID particles away from you if they exist in the space of the air that you're breathing.
And that's why I listen to so much Terry Gross.